long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. They give us strength.
Well, welcome everyone to Sunday Morning here with Robin Walter. God bless you today. Have a very special program planned for you. A little different. Not any different in the sense that it's not something from the Word. It's entirely from the Word, but a different topic than the normally cover. And it just seemed appropriate. I guess God put it on my heart. And maybe there's people out there that need to hear this. And it deals with the biblical view of inheritance. And you're going to get 14 points today if I can get through all of them. If I can't, I'll continue it next week. That if you're of an older generation looking how to plan your estate and do it from a biblical perspective, and this message is actually going to give you some freedom in what it is that you can do. Because there's some things in Scripture that are commanded, there's some things in Scripture that are prohibited, and there's some things that are options. And this is actually a message for all age levels. One, how to give it, our instruction and freedom in how to give it. Number two, if you're of a generation where you might be receiving an inheritance, let's say you're in your 40s or 50s, parents are older, one of them's passing away, some of these things pop up. But it also gives you insight how to do your own planning, which you should be, because tomorrow is not promised to any of us. And then those in the youngest generation, I would say in the 20s and 30s, maybe the grandchildren of some of the people listening, it would serve you well to hear the principles that are guiding your parents and grandparents. That not only would you receive these principles and understand them from God's Word, because there's some things that people in their 30s should be doing. Wills? Yeah, you've got children. Who are you going to appoint as your guardian? Husband and wife pass away and you got three young kids. Who is going to be the guardian of your children? How should that estate be set up? I may not get to that part today. If I get some response from people that say, yes, please cover the estate planning for younger folks, I will do it. But I'm going to start with those who are, let's say, closer to the end. So let me put it that way. And if you should have any desire to have a follow-up, this comprises about 40-45% of what I do. I do a bunch of other things. I got some tax matters I'm handling. I just finished a couple of criminal cases. But the estate planning area and estate administration and serving as trustee of people's trust comprise somewhere around 40-45% of what I do, for which I am legal to do in California, Arizona, and Michigan. So if you land in one of those three states, you certainly can reach me, and we can have a discussion without any cost at redskyradio777@gmail.com. redskyradio777@gmail.com. I'm not doing this program as an advertisement. I really am not. I am pretty filled. But I am saying it's hard to lay this out without giving people an opportunity to ask questions. I have done this presentation in probably a dozen churches over the years. I am happy to come to virtually any church in the United States without cost of my time. Cover my expenses, yes. I can't do it gratis, but it's that important to me. There's a church in South Dakota that would need this presentation. You cover my expenses, I'll come there and do that without any thought of any business, because it is it's part of my ministry. It's what I'm trained in. It's marketplace ministry. There are things, different ways to minister. It's not always just from the pulpit. So with that, let's get to the most important part of this whole program, and that is the prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord God. I see in your word, you have mentioned the word inheritance over 100 times. So we know that it's not an unimportant thing. It's something that you've talked about throughout Scripture and the inheritance of the land by the Israelites, and there's so much there to give us guidance. sometimes a command, sometimes a command to do something, not to do something. Sometimes we have options to be led by the Spirit of your Spirit. But Father, we are stewards in this land. We only hold things, and we are to hold them lightly, and we only get to hold them for a period of time. And when we're gone, because it says in your word, it's pointed on a man, once to die, and after that, the judgment, we know that somebody else is going to be receiving this. And as we have sought wisdom during life and how to manage our the affairs, dealing with finances and how to invest and where to give and how to give, Father, this is part of it sort of at the tail end, whether that tail end is for somebody listening to this who's 80 or somebody who's 25 who could go next week. And so, Father, we ask for wisdom and guidance and direction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I heard once that Woody Allen, I don't usually start these things with Woody Allen, but he said one time, I'm not afraid to die. I just don't want to be there when it happens. And I get that. And I think it was Bill Moyer that said that the death rate through all of history has actually not changed. It's one per person. Everybody will pass away. And how do you leave what you've acquired? And I know people, because I've done this for many years, that have worked hard and given well, and they have been blessed, and to do everything right during life to accumulate, and then do some things terribly wrong and passing it on. I mean, what is the point of doing so well during life and then finish poorly, at least in this particular area? And so, as I mentioned, I have 14 points, which I hope I can get to them. If I can't, we're just going to have to spill over to next week, because something laid this on my heart to this week to do this message. It was not what I had planned, and so I can only say this must be for someone or some people out there. You might want a pencil, paper, because you're going to want to jot down some scripture passage, which I will give you, because I will not have time to read all the scriptures. You're going to have to write them down and look them up. So number one, and this is not in the order of importance, so just understand that. And that is the wisdom of dividing an estate by asset type. So what do I mean by that? Well, the Levites received an inheritance, but they didn't receive the same type of inheritance that the other 11 tribes did. They received no inheritance of land. Everybody else got land, but the Levites didn't. But rather, they were provided for by the inheritance of others. So the other tribes actually held their land in trust for the Levites, who were partial beneficiaries, I guess you could say. But what's the practical application of this? It is not necessary nor necessarily wise to say that just divide everything. You said, say you've got three children. Let's use that. You want to divide it to the three children. We'll get to the issue in a minute of whether it should be equal or not. Yeah. Oh, boy. Now we're talking, huh? But this was just dealt with the wisdom of sometimes making allocations in a different manner. It might be a third, a third, a third, but it isn't one third of this stock and one third of the house and one third of something. It might be that there a farm or particular real estate goes to one child, maybe cash to another, maybe life insurance proceeds, maybe IRA benefits. For example, IRA benefits, if you have a child who has virtually no taxable income, they have very small income. Maybe they work very hard, but their income is very low. And at the other end is you've got a daughter who is an anesthesiologist and makes $500,000 a year. They are going to get taxed extremely differently, leaving the IRA equally to all three. The anesthesiologist's daughter is going to get whacked tax-wise with that untaxed money being added on to her income. The son who's a, let's say he's a, I don't know, a, a carpenter who's not getting full-time work, but he works very hard. Maybe he's got five kids, he's homeschooling. And an inheritance going in that direction, that child is going to pay significantly less tax on that inheritance than the anesthesiologist's daughter. So those passages come out of Numbers. You ready? Numbers 18. If you're writing these down, Numbers 18, verses 20 to 24. It's all of Numbers. 18, 20 to 24. Numbers 26, verse 55. And Numbers 35, verse 2. Now, I might make this available if you write in. Maybe that might be the best thing to do, and I could send it out. Number two is justification for a distribution by need. Now, I know everybody talks about, well, I want my kids to receive it equally. That's fine. There's nothing wrong or unbiblical about that, but there's also nothing unbiblical about it not being equal. We go, what? I'm going to give you the Bible verses in a minute. So you might have this general rule of equality in the amount of inheritance among the children, but that's tempered by the propriety to match the inheritance with the needs of individuals. So let me go back to my previous example, and then I'm going to give you the biblical example. Let's go back to this anesthesiologist's daughter who actually has no children. Maybe she has one child. She's making $500,000, got a luxury home, really doesn't have the needs. And let's go back down to the son who's a carpenter. He's trying to work full-time. He's got part-time, but he's got five kids. Bless his heart, they're homeschooling, and he's doing everything he can to put them into a Christian school. You see, that equality is not necessarily commanded. It could be a case of a matter of need more than equality. So some people say, well, is fair equal? And is equal fair? Well, it not necessarily with God. There is not necessarily an equal inheritance. The fact of the matter, in the Old Testament, the oldest son got twice the inheritance of all the other siblings. Now, I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying that God doesn't hold this equality as a mandatory thing, and that you should feel an abundance of sin and guilt descending upon you if you don't do things equally. And the fact of the matter is, you have never treated your children equally anyway. You think you have, but you haven't. I mean, I'll just give you an example. I've got a couple of sons. One of them had braces twice. That's $5,000 times two. The other one, perfect teeth, no problem. Do I hit the son that had the braces twice because I made some distributions earlier in life to him and he got more benefit than the other son? No, not necessarily. That's where the need was. That's where the need was. And the biblical basis for this is that the tribes of Israel, when they came into the promised land, some of them complained that they did not receive greater amounts of land when the nation was divided. Due to the size of that particular tribe relative to other tribes. So they had the tribe of Manasseh, the half-tribe of Manasseh, for example, and the other tribe, that they had a lot of cattle. They said, we need more land, Joshua, who is the one who actually ended up dividing the land. We need more land to accommodate. We have a greater need than some of our siblings. They don't have those kinds of asset types. So maybe it ended up that a half-tribe of Manasseh got some land on each side of, you know, some on one side of the Jordan, some on the other, but they got way more land than the other tribes did because they had the need. Now, maybe the other tribes had land that had timber on it for construction, and maybe they had better water. It was not equal in any way, shape, or form. but it was based on the particular need that I believe God put that on Moses and then Joshua's heart as to how the division would occur. But there is that practical application to today. I mean, let me make a stronger case. I'm going to go back to this anesthesiologist daughter, the one who's making a ton. I'm not saying you disinherit her, of course not. But let's say at the other end, you have this a child or a couple of children. One of them has a special needs child. And that special needs is an enormous demand of dealing with a medical disability to handicap. Would that likely play a role in maybe how you might divide the estate? Might you give portion of the estate to the one that has the handicapped child, actually in trust for the handicapped child? Because that handicapped child may never have a reasonable opportunity, through no fault of his or her own, to ever provide for themselves. That is very, very biblical. You know, God, it talks about taking care of the widows who are widows indeed in Scripture. Not the ones who are young and could remarry, but the ones who've served God. Take care of these widows. And why? Because they had lost the ability to actually produce in any productive manner, and they needed some help and support. Hence the creation of the first deacons, if you will, of which Stephen was most notable from the book of Acts. The biblical passage here that's instructive, if you got your pen, pencil, Joshua 17, verse 14. Joshua 17, verse 14. And then Numbers 26, verse 54. Now the next one, this is going to get pretty touchy, but we got to touch on it. The treatment of children of the first marriage. If you are in a second or subsequent marriage, I want to tell you something that I do when I do seminars. I don't do it for the sake of humor. I really don't. Although it elicits that's not the purpose. Because one time when I started out, I actually did legitimately ask, how many of you, it's because I'm going to back up from first marriage. I said, how many of you have illegitimate children? Okay. Well, suffice it to say that didn't elicit a major show of hands, even though maybe a number of people, be that the woman or the man, had a child born or multiple children born out of wedlock. Those children in estate planning cannot be ignored. You can disinherit them. And get this point, you don't have to provide for them, but they need to be raised, mentioned, and then eliminated, because every state will have a law called a pretermitted child, that you got a child, you know you got this child, and you don't reference them, it looks like you accidentally omitted them in your estate plan, and they would actually have a cause of action against the estate for a share of the estate. You have to deal with it. So, that's something, I raise these questions, these things. How many of you have, you know, children from illegitimate marriage? And how many of you would like to disinherit your spouse? Well, God put it, because, usually they're in there as a couple and they're sitting next to each other. The fact of the matter is, to a certain extent, you may disinherit spouses. Some people may still be married, but they're separated. It gets a little touchy. But understand, when I'm interviewing a client, honestly, it isn't much different than a doctor doing a physical. I mean, a doctor's not going to say, you know what, I need to examine you from the waist up. The doctor needs to examine the entire body. I've got to ask all of these questions. And when it's all said and done, I or some other attorney will know more about you than anybody else except yourself and probably your spouse. But that's as it should be if you want it done right. So let's get back to the topic here. Number three, the treatment of children of the first marriage. Lest I forget it, I want to give you the passage that's instructive here, being Deuteronomy 21:17, where the firstborn child was of one who had two wives. So the man First wife, second wife, the child. There's a firstborn child of a child of the first wife. And let's suppose that the first wife, or this would be reverse, or husband, ended up being despised. I mean, after all, they got divorced, right? That child was not to be disinherited. And hear me closely here. Was not to be disinherited as a result of the actions of that child's mother or father, for whom this, of which this second spouse now despises that first spouse, be that the husband or the wife, because of what he or she did. They were running around, had the affairs, whatever the case. Just because that child, a former spouse was despised, is not the basis for disinheriting the child of that marriage. And you might say, well, that child's going to turn against me. I've dealt with this a number of times, but to what extent has the attitude of that child been formed, particularly if that child was raised by the mother, let's suppose here, the first spouse, was raised by during formative years, and the negative reaction to the father in this case, who's remarried, is a result of what that mother has said, or flip it around, what the father has said if the father had primary custody. So understand the source of the antagonism, and don't lay it too heavily upon that child, even though a child said, hey, I hate you, Dad, because you divorced Mom, or she divorced, whatever. Keep in mind, he or she may well be infected at 8, 10, 12, 14, 16 years old by the words, lies, whatever, that have come down from the custodial parent. Just keep that in mind, because there's that biblical passage, Deuteronomy 21:17. That deals with that. I can tell you right now, I'm not going to get through all of these, but this isn't too important. This is too important to fly through this. I think I may get through two more here. The fourth one is the disinheritance of disobedient children. Now, this is just a topic area, and I'm not telling you to disinherit disobedient children. That's not here. But this deals with the topic of, do you disinherit disobedient children? Well, it depends, of course, on the degree of disobedience. I know of a party who has attempted to make amends with a daughter. The daughter has not contacted her father in 32 years. No contact. She will not come to the funeral. Is that a place for disinheritance? Well, maybe so. You might say, well, equality is the general rule, but there's a couple of passages I want to point out here. There's Psalm 37:9 and 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. Psalm 37:9, 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. And it speaks of disinheriting evildoers. Yeah. And who are the evildoers? Well, typically, it's going to be children, because that's who to whom the inheritance would be going. Well, I'm going to disinherit that guy down the street. He's real wicked. Well, you know what? He was never a probable beneficiary of your estate anyway. This deals with the issue of children. And so there's one other passage I want to give you here. Deuteronomy 12, verse 9. Deuteronomy 12, verse 9, which speaks to earning or qualifying for an inheritance by being deserving. Just take a look at this. I'm going to throw out two more here. So keep writing here. Lamentations. I'm going to have to look in the index where that is. Comes right after Jeremiah. Lamentations 5:2 speaks of an inheritance left to disobedient children ending up with strangers, and your houses and lands ending up with aliens. Isn't that something? An inheritance going to disobedient children. And I can't tell you what level of disobedience triggers this, but that's something that you'll kind of have to discern. But just understand the principle here, that an inheritance left to disobedient children ending up with strangers, in other words, people that are not descendants of yours. It goes down and then it goes sideways, goes out the back door, goes somewhere, and your houses, lands ending up with aliens. Aliens is kind of even a more distinct, it doesn't mean illegal aliens, that type of thing, but somebody that has totally and completely, I guess in every respect, removed from your family. Neither one of them are ones to whom, as the law says, they would not be objects of your bounty, okay? Not your natural heirs. And then there is a passage in Ephesians 5, verse 5, which speaks of disinheriting rebellious children. And the a faithful servant participating and partaking in the inheritance of what otherwise would have gone to a disobedient child. I'm just going to give you an example because it's a true life one. A party has a couple of children. One child is really, really estranged, wants to leave things equally. But this parent, maybe neither child has been particularly helpful in the latter years of this parent, who's had health issues and needs help, needs some assistance. It's not there. Maybe the children are a long ways away, but maybe they aren't. Maybe they don't show up much. Maybe one of the children is for all purposes, a bit estranged. And so the care of this parent has disproportionately fallen upon a party who's just a good Samaritan, somebody who comes by and gives mom her meds each day and helps clean things and so forth. I had one that a brother of a client of mine said, "Why on earth is my brother disinheriting?" Happened to be the nation of Israel, of a bequest. They're all deceased, so I can talk about this. Of $50,000 and leaving it to this Gentile woman. And I told him, I said, because the Gentile woman has taken care of your brother for the last 7 years, and you didn't do jack to help your brother, except visit him periodically and help spend his money going out to dinner. This woman has been as faithful as a servant could ever be without compensation, and your brother wants to leave her something as an appreciation for what she has done for him. It's been enormous. So what if she gets $50,000? That $50,000 is less than the 6 years of caregiving. That brother who was upset, he got it. I mean, he understood. And he said, "Okay, I see. What you're saying is she did the job I should have been doing." And I said, "Absolutely. You did get it." My gosh, I only got through four of these. We're going to have to continue. Remember, redskyradio777@gmail.com if you'd like to discuss any of this. And when I get done with this, all of these, if you want, I could send them out to you. I won't do that until we complete them all on the air. Please listen to this message. Thank you so much.
Sunday Morning with Robin Walter is a listener-supported program. Our mission is to prepare the saints not to just survive, but thrive in the end times through preparation, warning, instruction, and encouragement. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Hey, God bless you for tuning in. I hope that this has been helpful. If it hasn't, I got 10 more points, and some of them are going to hit home. We'll see you next week. God bless you.